Some might say Indiana's so-called Religious Freedom Act was taken down by the 2015 men's Final Four. They'd be oversimplifying, but the NCAA, which happens to be headquartered in Indianapolis, did have an effect, as did NASCAR, the NBA, the WNBA, and other sports leagues and teams. Basketball is far from the only sport that has helped define contemporary Indianapolis. Mark Tracy wrote about that phenomenon for the New York Times this week. Mark, welcome back to Only a Game.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Last week's fight highlighted the extent to which Indianapolis has become sports central. Your story seems to suggest the roots of that identity began in 1978, right?
That's certainly the major turning point. In a sense, Indianapolis is well situated for sports before then. It's located in the center of the country. Obviously, there's lots of homegrown fandom, especially in basketball, and the Indy 500 was always there. But in 1978, a federal law was passed that mandated each Olympic sport would have its own national governing body, and Indianapolis seized on that and got lots of those NGBs to headquarter themselves in Indianapolis. And that was part of a concerted strategy to redevelop the downtown and the city around sports.
You spoke with the mayor of Indianapolis. What did he tell you about the city's reputation half a century ago before this concerted effort began?
He was telling me about the sports strategy and how it had been known as India No Place or Naptown. The story goes that Indianapolis's iconic Monument Circle was so overrun by pigeons, because there were so few humans, that on Sunday mornings the Junior Chamber of Commerce would actually organize shotgun expeditions.
I assume that hotels and restaurants are delighted each time the Final Four comes to town, but what about benefits of this development strategy that have accrued to Indianapolis businesses and residents that are not directly related to games?
The Indiana Sports Corps, which is, by the way, the first sports commission in the world, now every city has one, they claim to me that the impact of the Final Four, however you want to define that, will be about $70 million positive. But even whether or not that's true, you're missing the point if you just consider a one-off event. The events are important, but what the events really do and did was kind of be something that the business community and investors could rally around to really develop the core. There's now 20,000 more people living in Indianapolis's downtown core than there were 30-odd years ago. There's a nightlife scene. There are restaurants, there are hotels. So the overall impact over 40 years of this strategy has definitely been positive.
I wonder if the people of Indianapolis ever worry that one or more of the sports organizations at home there now will get lured away by another city that has seen this development strategy work.
Well, and especially, I mean, when you look at what Indianapolis did, Indianapolis built the Hoosier Dome before they had a football team, which was convenient in 1984 when they got the Colts from Baltimore. So that's something that they've been on one side of. I mean, I suppose that's something that they could be worried about. But what you can say about them is they have done all they can to make it a continually attractive place simply by having all this stuff, by knowing that the city is behind all this stuff. And it's worth noting, I mean, you hear about the NFL teams flirting with Los Angeles, and there are several teams in that conversation. I've never once heard the Colts be a part of that conversation.
They've moved once. They don't want to do it again.
Yeah, that must be it. Yeah.
Mark Tracy wrote the article titled Sports Groups in Indianapolis Fight to Keep Their City Welcoming for the April 6th edition of the New York Times. You can link to that story at onlyagame.org. Mark, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.